You're listening to the Intercoastal Podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Intercoastal Podcast. I'm Daquan Mickens, and for today's episode, we have Pamela Courtney from the Historic Port Royal Foundation joining us today to talk about the new lecture series and a little bit about Port Royal's big birthday coming up next year. Welcome to the show, Pamela.
Thank you so much for having me on again. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
Yeah, it's always great to have you. And before we start, I wanted to plug our episode that we did in June of 2022 with Pamela and Dr. Larry Rowland. It was a great episode of some of the Port Royal history. So if you guys are interested in that, it was a great segue into this episode. So first off, can you tell us about this new lecture series being held in Port Royal?
Yeah, this is going to be great, and you don't want to miss it. USC, the Lancaster campus, which houses the Native American Studies Center, mm-hmm. is going to come down October the 26th. And their topic is, who was here? A lot of times we think about the beginning of Port Royal or this area was brought in by Jean Ribault. We know these dates of 1562, and we miss an entire, you know, people that were here far, far from generations and thousands of years ahead of time. So what the faculty is going to be talking about is Native Americans before and during European settlements. The as I said, the lecture series is going to be October the 26th from 6:30 to 8:30. At St. Mark's Episcopal Church, and that's a Thursday evening. The tickets are $25 a person, and they can be purchased online through portroyalhistory.org. We really want to see you there. As said, St. Mark's doesn't have a lot of space, so you want to get your tickets. But the acoustics are phenomenal, and we are so grateful that Dr. Larry Rowland has loaned his name or given us his name for these lecture series. We began earlier in the year with one that went way, way back, and then we had a couple of other ones, and now we're into the fall where we're talking about who was here first. I think a lot of times when we don't even know, we cross creeks and streams, we don't even realize that they're named after indigenous peoples that were here before. And the people that were here before, they spoke a Muskogean. A lot of people think it might be a Cherokee, and they were more further north into South Carolina. Mm-hmm. But they spoke a Muskogean language, which is similar to, it was a what we think of as a Creek language. So when we look at the Yamasee and the Wimby and the Combahee and the Eskimaku and Bohickets, we just, all of these names that come up when we're in different towns, that is part of the people that we are here before us. And we're so anxious to know more about.
Yeah, that's a good, introduction to, you know, what the people who were here, you know, I drive down the highway and I'll see like, Cumbie River, and I'll be like, oh, like I just drive past not thinking about like where the name came from. So it's kind of cool to see like where the names came from. So having this lecture series to kind of introduce that to people is really cool.
That, I mean, I think that's great. And we've got a lot of people that are also on board that want to sponsor this. And such as I'll just run through a real quick list: Alpha Graphics, First Federal Bank, Kevin Phillips, Madison's Restaurant, Majoni Trading, St. Mark's Episcopal, and Safe Harbor Marinas. And if you want to sponsor it, please get in touch with us as well. And this keeps these lecture series alive and running for everybody. It's just not somebody that is from Port Royal, but our entire county and areas. It's just full and enriching.
Yeah.
And as I said, it's so important to know about our history and that we're really caretakers of our area.
Yeah.
And to our schools. So our children know when they, as I said, they cross that creek, they cross that bridge, they cross that inlet, whatever it is, that they know that, hey, I learned that and I know, and that's a part of the deep roots that runs here in this area.
Yeah. That's another factor of it is that learning aspect of teaching kids and keeping history. Buford is history. And a lot of people, when they come to Buford, they come to Buford for the history.
Absolutely. You know, and one of the things that we don't really think about is that when we travel other places, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter whether we're in the country or whether we're in New York City or someplace, think about where you go. You go visit a museum, and a museum is part of, say, not just physical health, because you walk a lot in some larger museums, but it's the mental health of exploring and getting and finding out about a sense of place and what makes it unique. One of the things that museums also help our children in education is that, number one, they get to think about something larger than themselves, get some off of their iPads. They get to a sense where they can ask questions, and there is anything is welcome in a museum. And that also teaches children where to go to find answers.
Yeah. Kind of get back on the Dr. Rowland series. Who are some of the speakers that might speak at the new lecture series?
The new lecture series?
Yes.
Well, next year we are slated to have the former commanders from the USS Port Royal come in, and we should have an exhibit also to be unveiled at that time in a collection. Right now we have lined up the first commander ever of the USS Port Royal, and I'm talking about the modern USS Port Royal, not the Civil War Port Royal commander. Yeah. We're not talking about that one. But but anyway, and then two other commanders that are going to come in, and they're going to talk about life on the seas. And it's kind of a nice tie.
Yeah.
Plus a new exhibit that we will be having unveiled at that time.
Okay. And how often do these lecture series take place?
We try to do them quarterly, and we try to sort of not do much in the summer months. The reason why is because it's hot.
Yeah.
I mean, and so the one coming up in the fall should be perfect.
Yes, I agree. That's a perfect time to have it.
Perfect.
It's calm, cool, and collected.
Yes.
Don't have that humidity. It's really good.
Yeah, yeah. We're the cool coastal, far from ordinary.
Yes.
we can plug that, can't we?
Yes. I think that's a good way to segue into the Port Royals.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We can do that. And they, I think that the deepest thing that we need to always be, even though we're in the present, is we're keeping history alive and how interesting this all is. I mean, this is just phenomenal when you look back and you can have a chance to look at documents or see how streets were laid out and how close we are. We're really not that far away from the past.
Yes. No, I agree. I like to look at even the railroad, like the old railroad that goes to Port Royal. It's crazy to think, like, man, people used to just get things off boats, used the railroad hundreds of years ago, or you see an old tabby building and say, man, that building was put together years and years before I was even a thought, before my parents were even a thought. So it's just crazy to think how everything stands the test of time. The history is so important here.
Yeah, because when we look around and we talk about our deep water and how important that we now kind of look at it as more of a luxury.
Yes.
You get a boat, you go out, you go fishing, and you don't realize that, wow, there was a real sense of urgency. Get things in here, get them unloaded, and sense of importance. Get passengers off, get troops across the waterway. Battles were fought here. How connected we have been in the past to the water.
Yeah.
When it had a greater importance as far as for protection and prominence.
Yes, I would agree. Especially in that time, water, being on that waterway, you pretty much were seen as a, not only just import export, but you were seen as a focal point of America at that time.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I mean, and now we just kind of, oh, well, you know, that our trains are gone, our docks are kind of gone.
Yeah. But I enjoy living here, and I enjoy, you know, when people do visit here, they still see the beauty of the area and they still see the history. It's good to learn the history of what it used to be.
Yeah. And when we have visitors that come to the museum, one of the comments that they make, you know, because we track, how did they hear about us? How did they get here? They talk about that they feel like they've stepped back in time. As soon as they hit Paris Avenue, it's kind of this quaintness. They said, we never knew that you were here.
Yeah.
And they may say something like, this kind of reminds us of some old town off the Keys somewhere that they really didn't know that this existed right here in South Carolina.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And the other thing, you know, is the, as we step back in time and the importance, and I'm sure that Larry and I may have discussed this before, was the importance of Port Royal, say 1870 to 1900 post-Civil War. Mm-hmm. The railroads came in and Stephen Mallette was kind of the brains about having the dream, but D.F. Appleton is the one that financed it and laid out the town of Port Royal. So if you come to the museum, you'll get to see an 1891 map when, say, Paris Avenue, London, Madrid, those were actually named something else. They were, you know, we had streets and we have avenues, but they were all numbers.
Yeah.
But this map that we have is from 1891 was a couple of years before the great hurricane that hit and destroyed it. So we're fortunate that that map survived.
Yeah, that is really cool.
Yeah. But as I said, Appleton came down from north with the money. We had financed the some of the railway like that. And we had some tumultuous times, financial times, mm-hmm. Where money was gained and lost and banks went upside down. And then we had the yellow fever epidemic. Then we had the hurricane, which is still, as far as I know, is the fourth largest in the United States that did the damage here in this area, mm-hmm. Port Royal as well as Beaufort. And we had so much destruction. And then, like the Phoenix, every time there has been an industry that has collapsed, it's been like the Phoenix. We've risen and with something else.
Yeah. Always have to move on and figure something else out.
Yeah.
I think that's why people should visit the Port Royal Museum, and they should come to the lecture series because they can find out all this information that a lot of people aren't privy to. It's research based. It's typical information that the average person doesn't, aren't able to see.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys do a great job of researching and bringing new information to the table, and anybody who's a history buff loves to digest this type of information.
And you would be surprised. We often get people in who have done their history homework, or mm-hmm. they have been a buff on something, and they'll come in and they will ask us, you know, well, what about such and such? And you're just so astounded that somebody from Ohio or Connecticut comes here for that purpose of seeing a few things that are connected to the area. Our children most likely, you know, like to see the fossilized whale eardrums and, you know, shark's teeth. And you know, that's kind of what drives children more than anything. But yeah, the adults, they've got the time they like to spend pulling out some of the articles and slides that we have. Look, one of the other things that is brand new.
Mm-hmm.
We had Shrimper Woody Collins come in, and we did an interview with him for about 6 hours. You know, all the things as a young boy going out, and it's now down to an hour and 15 minutes. You can come in and watch it, or mm-hmm. you can go to a link that we have that you can listen to it while you're driving.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating to hear how he got on a boat the first time and how, you know, if you behaved well, you got asked to come back again and you were just there and then maybe given a chore and then something else and more responsibility and how he grew into be a shrimp boat captain. Fascinating interview. And Paul Kaiserling did the videography for us, did a spectacular job.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you guys have a different array of things, not only just like about history, but just like marine, like work, people on the water, or things for kids, like you said, like the shark's teeth and stuff like that, that kids really enjoy. Mm-hmm. So you guys definitely do a good job of dropping in different things, and everything's historic. Everything has history to it, even the things for kids, and they might not know it at the time, but that history goes forward when they go and find something else. They'll be like, oh, I remember that time I went to the history museum and I saw this, or that could pique someone's interest to get into history and, you know, do something on the water. So,
yeah. And we couldn't do this if we didn't have our volunteers and docents.
Yeah.
We're open. I wish we were open longer hours and more days, but we're open from Thursday through Sunday. And every single one of our docents has their own unique style.
Mm-hmm.
They have particular interests that they like to focus on. And it is fascinating to watch them. When we do training, we have Dr. Roland come in. We've had him come in and give in the history background of it. And 2 hours later, people are just amazed, you know, at that they didn't get this in college or didn't get this in a classroom or whatever. And that he, once he starts, he just moves effortlessly through the history of this area and what this and what that was. But this is incredibly important for docent and volunteer training, that they get a feel for this. And then they go, oh my goodness, we didn't know.
Yeah. Like we said before the podcast began, Dr. Roland's such a great speaker and we can listen to him forever because he just goes and gives you so much information. And it's good information.
And Dr. Steve Wise at Paris Island, he's the Civil War end of it. And so that is his expertise. And we cannot thank him enough for all of the help that he has given to us with exhibits and knowledge and wisdom. You know, both of them have been incredible advisors for us.
Yeah, that's good. So as we mentioned in the intro, the town of Port Royal has a big birthday coming up in 2024. And it will be the 150th birthday. What's the date on the birthday? And can you give us some of the history of early Port Royal?
Okay. The actual date, you know, then we talk about this, the incorporation of the town. And I know this might be a little confusing because people drive by and they see all the flags that flew over Port Royal. And they go, wait a minute, you know, shouldn't we be talking about like the 400th anniversary? Incorporation of the town is the 150th. And it was March 9th. 1874 is when the town was incorporated. And as it, and I said, that was post Civil War. And that was when the town was laid out. Previously, there had been plantations. It had been broken up to where the Naval Hospital is now, different place, but that whole town was laid out at that point.
And what has been your favorite moment or part of Port Royal history?
I like really old stuff. I mean, I like geologic parts of it. I mean, of course, I love, you know, the more recent history and looking at architecture. But what I really like is how ancient this area really is when it was part of Pangaea. So we're going back 180 million years ago and the plates that moved, you know, when we were connected with Africa and the geologic formations. That's what really excites me more than anything as a background and research of is how and why, and talking about the wetlands that we have, and we've covered that in part of the lecture series earlier in the year, but I find any of it's fascinating, and the history and what has made the area attractive to commerce, attractive to shipping. And it really goes back to the geologic formations that began this, because otherwise we'd be kind of like any place else. It wouldn't be like that, but you go way, way back. That answers a lot of the questions. The why questions is, why do we have deep water out here? You know, what made this palatable to early mariners, whatever the shipping industry, you know, what just made this so attractive? Why, you know, and so if you go way back, that gives you the answers, and I get excited about that.
Yeah, I've never really thought about it. When you learn about Pangaea, I was in the upper state of South Carolina, so I didn't really think about the coast. But being on the coast and how close you are now to just to a, if I really, I mean, it'd take a lot of gas and a lot of effort, but if I wanted to, I could get on a boat and just go to another country from Port Royal or from Beaufort. And it's just crazy to think, you know, we're just a hop, skip, and a jump ocean right away from another country.
And sometimes, you know, when we track our hurricanes and we see that they come from the Azores, and you look at it, you go, this is all interconnected. It really is. We're looking back to part of what we were connected to that affects our weather here. That's so we think we are so much in control and we're so smart, you know, like that, but we're really part of the, all of this process that is continually going on. And we just happen to live in paradise.
Yes, we do. I agree with that. Can you tell us about any hidden gems in Port Royal's history people might find interesting?
Oh my goodness. I mean, wetlands are actually a sinkhole, not like the kind that you think of. And there's one there, and I believe there's one in Ladies Island. And so that's kind of a hidden, it's a hidden gem. What was really interesting was I contacted the Appleton Foundation, and it's here up in the East Coast, and they were stunned. They had hundreds and hundreds of boxes in their foundation and weren't even aware that we existed until we said, we think that you may have documentation of agreements between, say, the railroad company and D.F. Appleton. And sure enough, they had them. They were amazed. They were amazed that we knew his name, that we had buildings named after him and a street named after him and how we were connected. That was a part of their history that was completely lost. And so at that point, then they started, started sending me actual portraits that they had, oil paintings of him that we did not have. And that's part of that building relationships.
Yeah.
And then from that, then we began a lifetime membership that you can get at the museum called the Appleton Society. We'd like to invite anybody to become a part of it. And that it is said become a lifetime member, but it's named after D.F. Appleton. And there still is a store in Port Royal. It is now called Maggie Mays, but he built that store and had a house in there. It was sometimes referred to now as the Metcalf store, but that is still there.
Yeah.
If you just go down and across from the town hall, mm-hmm. come visit that.
Yeah.
That's a part of the history that we don't talk about so much.
Yeah. That's really interesting. Cause when I drop down Port Royal, I see all these buildings and it's so much history in all these different buildings. It's really cool.
So what do you think, when you drive down and you can go down on any of those side streets, mm-hmm. what hits you as far as when you're looking around?
When I'm looking around, it looks like very relaxed. Everything's relaxed. And then the building, it just looks very historic. It looks like somewhere I would want to just relax and call home.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, that'd be good. Because I think we don't ask that question enough. We're so busy telling people what to see. We don't say, what's your impression? How do you feel about this?
Yeah.
What catches your eye? What would you like to know more of? And yeah. I think that the interesting thing is if you go down to some of these side streets, some of these, look at the quaint, curious houses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That we want you to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a must when coming to Beaufort and Port Royal just to look around and see the different types of houses.
Yeah. And one of the things that also, that we have and a lot of towns don't have is we have our street music, mm-hmm. which is, we have them in the spring and in the fall and they're absolutely free.
Yeah.
You can just bring your chair and sit down and listen to, the music. And then pick up your chair and walk home.
Yeah, it is unique.
Yeah, that's very unique.
Yeah.
And it's open to people outside of Port Royal. I want to say when I say pick up your chair and walk home that it's open. What a gift
it is
that you get to experience musicians and music from different areas and comes in.
Yeah, I agree. Well, this has been a fun episode, Pamela. Thank you for coming onto the show to talk about the new lecture series and the upcoming celebration of Port Royal's birthday. For the listeners, can you tell them where they can find your information?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking me that. If you go to www.portroyalhistory.org, you can go through and find where to purchase your tickets for the lecture series. You can find out about membership and then a lifetime membership to the Appleton Society. You can go through and look at all the information, but that is where you want. You can also stop in at the museum Thursday through Sunday, 10 to 3 as well and purchase tickets or get any information. And as I said, we are so fortunate to have such great and fun volunteers. And if you want to be a volunteer, we'd love to have you come on board as well.
Yes, that's good. If you want more information on the other upcoming events happening in our area, be sure to visit beaufortsc.org/events. Thank you for listening to the Intercoastal Podcast. You can follow us on social media at @visit_B4SC on Instagram or at B4SC on Facebook. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review. We'll talk to y'all next time. This has been another episode of the Intercoastal Podcast, hosted by Daquan Mickens and the team at Visit Beaufort Port Royal in the Sea Islands, produced by Relic.